Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, we'll get to the juicy stuff. What was your first time having sex?
X-Men United.
People have a lot of questions about that, voice of the people.
Shoot.
Why are you able to lose your virginity in a crowded theater on the floor in a sticky movie theater, but you can't maybe have sex discreetly in a bathroom with your wife?
I'll fuck you in a bathroom, dude. Jesus Christ.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. That's how I get what I want.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
My name is Steve Green. Hello.
And we are the hosts of Shit They Don't Tell You, in case you're new here and you didn't know. Also, if you're new here, you should follow us on Instagram, Shit They Don't Tell You, and it's without the I. Just SHT, they don't tell you.
And it only took a year and many months, but we finally ditched that intro. So you're welcome for that. Feedback works really quickly
here. Yeah. We're working on a new one. So
Jesus.
There you go. Also, you can follow us on YouTube. Nikki Limo is the YouTube channel that we post the video version of this on. But today, we do not have a guest. We wanted to do a little episode between the two of us because on Shit They Don't Tell You, we cover all aspects of the shit that no one told us that we had to learn on our own through life that we wish people would have told us, right?
Yes.
So today I want to do an episode about all of our first time experiences. So first time with money, jobs, relationships, and random stuff. And yes, we will talk about the time we lost our virginities for
X-Men
the
X-Men 2, X-Men United, movie theater time. Floor. Everyone knows.
You freaking pervs.
Public information.
But also, we want to give ourselves what advice would we give ourselves now looking back on those first times?
Don't fuck during the
this
Wolverine
need to save it.
Mansion scene.
Save it.
That's definitely up there for me.
Do fuck during 8 Mile. That is what I fucked to, and it was great.
Dude, when he's just slaying all those fools, every time I see that, I'm like, I had sex to this.
Why do
for
you
the
watch?
First time.
You watch it multiple times?
No, you could hear it.
No, I mean like. You,
oh, sure. You see that movie on TV and stuff all the time.
I don't watch TV. I don't have cable.
Oh, well.
What cable do you have? You live in the same house as me.
I have YouTube television.
Oh, no, you don't. We canceled it.
Well, yeah, that's true. We canceled it. Well, because we got HBO.
Yeah.
We
just switch them out. We constantly switch them out. Anyway,
if it's football season, I got
to anything that needs a like monthly service fee, we just switch that out.
True.
So let's start with an easy one. So, Steve, first childhood dream job. What was your first childhood
astronaut
dream job? And why? Mine too. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Did I know that about you?
Didn't all kids say that?
Wait, did you know that about me?
No.
Yeah, you did you know that about
I think
me?
I did know that
you
about
you. You did know that about me.
I think I did.
It was like
you said it recently to
the
me.
The mom versus husband thing. You guessed that. I think my brother helped you.
Jesus, how do you remember this shit? You remember
know
a video we did 2 years ago?
I wish I didn't.
Oh my God. I don't even remember anything about that video. How about
I know
that?
It's embarrassing. Do you know I used to remember like if I saw someone and I went to kindergarten with them 1 year? I remembered their name, but I couldn't let them know I remembered their name because that's embarrassing. Like, yeah. how would you remember that unless you were obsessed with that person? But I'm not obsessed with them. I just remember things.
I know, but I don't need to keep it to yourself. Look, listen, I'm Paul Kent, and you're my son, and I can't have you getting taken away by the government.
All right. You need to chill out on the comic book references.
Hey, look, when you have such an intimate moment to comic books.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
To the sound.
So why didn't you ever want to be a Batman or something?
What are you talking about?
Childhood dream job.
I didn't think you could be Batman.
Oh.
I wasn't that kid.
Well, you can.
Those kids, huh? That's because you had your brother and he's Dane.
He wanted to be the Blue Power Ranger, Billy.
Oh, see.
Of all the Power
Rangers.
I never
wanted to be things that weren't real.
Andy wanted to be Superman.
For me, an astronaut was the closest thing to an actual Superman.
Well, then he wanted to be a police officer because he just wanted to fight crime. So it was like, if I can't be Superman,
I see.
I'll be a police
officer. Practical.
Yeah. But for me, yeah, I was an astronaut also until Brandon Morris in the third grade told me that you could get stuck out in space without oxygen. And then that terrified me.
That's very true.
I was like, never mind.
It's very terrifying. Also, just imagine right now, being in space on some platform looking down at the Earth.
Nah.
I'm already shitting myself.
No, because I miss home when I'm like 2 hours or more away. I'm like, man, I really miss my kitties.
Dude, when we were in Bali on the exact opposite side of the Earth.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling a little bit scared about that.
Yeah, same.
Just like we're so far away that if anything happened, we're here forever. We're fucked. We'll never get home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in that movie Gravity, we were Sandra Bullocks in
Bali. Oh, for sure Sandra Bullocks.
Yeah. But why was an astronaut your favorite job? Why was that your dream job?
You could go to space.
Yeah.
That seemed sick as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Now seems scary.
But what about space? Anything specifically?
Oh, I just wanted to like walk on the moon and all the regular shit.
Yeah, I wanted to walk on the moon because embarrassing bears go to space. When they jumped, they like took a long time to land.
Yeah, see, there you go.
And I thought that was really cool. And we didn't have a trampoline.
I just wanted to fly in space where you're on the space station.
Oh.
Like, and you can just like fly around.
No, I wanted to walk on the moon.
Dude, you know what's so funny is that you think about how sick that would be, and then you watch the astronauts on the ISS, and they're not even like having that much fun flying around and stuff. They're like holding clipboards the whole time.
They're probably so scared too, or maybe they're not.
I don't think they are. Scared. They're trained
bored.
For that shit so well.
They're just so bored.
Yeah, they're bored by that point. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Training just knocks all that shit out of them.
Maybe that's how they feel like when I do stand up sometimes, people are like, how do you have the balls to do stand up? Like, that's crazy. And it's like, oh no, that's like way more chill than like singing or going to space. All right, let's move on. So first car, let's talk about your first car.
Ford Escort LX.
But
luxury edition.
How did you get it?
It's a station wagon.
What was your experience like with it?
So I was, I don't know, 19, I think. And my folks got me a car.
You're old.
Excuse me?
You didn't get your license till you were
I was
19.
Yeah.
I forgot about
my parents were by
Loser.
Both worked, and so I just couldn't get on the road, and my sister was like too busy with school stuff to teach me. She taught me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just never got around to getting my license until I was 19 finally.
Did you feel like a loser?
No, not at all.
Cuz your friends could drive or what?
Yeah, I always had people that could take me places.
You had people.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, I always was like so antsy to drive, and I felt like I got mine late because I was the youngest out of all of my friends because my birthday was in November, so everyone turned 16 the previous school year.
Right.
And so I could not wait. I had my permit as soon as I could get it when I was 15, and then as soon as I could drive, I got my license. My parents got me a Toyota Celica. Remember those?
Yeah.
They're like sporty looking cards.
Yeah, they look cool.
It was not a new Celica or anything. It was just a used 99 Celica, and I loved that thing. But the advice I would give to my previous self is, even though I loved that car, I had no idea how to take care of it. And my parents were never like, hey, you have to like get the oil changed. Or like, hey, if the gas tank is on empty, like it really will stop the car.
How do people not know to get oil changes? That blows my mind.
I had no idea. No one had ever in my life brought up an oil change. Ever.
Wow.
Like I just figured like a light would come on or something. Now the light does come on, like my Honda tells me,
yeah,
like
the car
when
tells
I need
you everything that's going on.
Yeah,
it tells
but
you
I
too
don't
much.
Have to think about anything. But back then in a 99 Celica with the windows you had to roll down, you know, with manually, not with power windows or any of that. It didn't tell you anything. It didn't tell you if you needed an oil change, unless it was like too late. Then an oil light would come on. It's like, yeah, your engine is fucked.
Well, nobody will ever have to worry about this because everyone's car tells them literally everything. You get in the car now and you click, I agree. What are you agreeing to when you get in the car?
Okay, but
it's like, I agree to have my image used in your fucking commercial or something.
Wait, I agree. Oh, yeah, you didn't read the message? It just says like, hey, make sure you pay attention to the road because it doesn't want you to use the sound or the radio if you're not paying attention to the road.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Do you not even read it when you hit it?
Fuck no. Okay. Who reads that shit ever?
Well, anyway, but here's the things that I think do still apply is I didn't know. I knew you had to pay for gas, right? But I didn't know how much it costs to get like your car serviced. When I first found out you had to get a car serviced for $300, I was freaking out. Here's I was like, that's an insane amount
what,
of money.
What you actually have not learned to this day is you do not have to get your car serviced.
Yeah, you do.
Not really.
Well, yeah, you do.
Not really.
Yeah, you do.
You know, here's what you got to do. You got to make sure that you get your oil changed.
Right.
Of course.
And your tires rotated.
Your tires rotating, yeah, depending on how, if you let go of your steering wheel and it's like, you know, turning or whatever the fuck, then yeah, you probably should.
I'm sorry. Are you an auto mechanic?
No, but this is part of the shit that they don't tell you about how these companies rip a lot of people
off.
Yeah,
but I'm actually
paying $300 service fucking thing.
But I'm speaking from experience from not paying the $300 service thing because I was like, that's hella fucking
money. For them to
money.
What? Do your wiper fluids and
no,
shit?
No, all the fluids, the transmission fluids, all that stuff. So don't you remember when we first started
get
dating?
That stuff.
Excuse me. Okay. Don't you remember when we first started dating and my car like went to shit every other fucking month? Because I never ever got it serviced.
Is that really why? You had a shit car too. That was a shit car.
Right,
sure.
But why do you think it got shit?
It was a clunker though.
But it wasn't when I bought it. I didn't get it serviced.
No, of course not,
because
cars depreciate over time. I'm not talking about never service your
We're
car.
We're arguing
and it's
over
a scam.
Getting
no,
your
on.
Car
I'm not saying,
serviced.
No,
please,
I'm not
if
saying,
you're an auto mechanic, please leave a comment
no,
and let us
they
know
man.
In the comments.
This shit is not, it's not like, hey, every couple of months, you got to get your car serviced. That shit is bullshit, Nikki.
Okay, my bad. I thought it was real. So, I mean, I've been paying for my car service and
no, you got to get your you got to make sure your car is serviced, but not the whole timetable bullshit thing they give you. That is a bunch of horse shit.
It's my bad. I said I'm stupid. I just thought you need to get your car serviced and
I'm not saying
my second
car
broke down cuz I never did get it serviced.
I'm talking about basic maintenance, of course you have to do.
Okay.
But all the frivolous shit that they have you try to do? No.
Okay. So we're at two different extremes because Steve Green is a man that constantly thinks he's getting scammed by literally everything.
That's
he thought
correct.
Our refrigerator was scamming him. He thought our dryer was scamming him. He thought anything that doesn't
I know our fridge
work,
was scamming me.
Like, he just thinks everything is scamming him and everybody. And if you're asking for money in any context, he's like, this is a scam. This is how they get you.
Yep.
This man buys like too much soda for a kitchen to handle because it's a better deal to get five packages of soda cans than it is to get.
Don't just say this man. Some say a great man.
No one does.
Some
none.
Some
do.
Actually do. So
I need a quote. I need some receipts for that.
Listen, here's the thing. You have to be very aware that a lot of people out there are trying to rip you off, and you have to be ready to handle that.
So if you get your car serviced to the dealership, it's a little pricier, right? But they also don't pressure you into buying all the extra frivolous stuff. They'll say, here's all the things that we noticed. This thing needs
true.
To be addressed right away. These two things are urgent. All this stuff you should probably check out, but like you don't need to. It's not like super necessary.
So your air filter, bro.
Yeah, your air filter, your fluids,
that's
like
what
your
saying.
All your fluids to get them switched out. But that's also preventative, you know, because like things build up. So if you want to be like extra preventative, some people do, and some people want their cars to last for a long time. And so
everyone
maybe they
wants
do that.
Their cars to last for a long time.
Well,
but that's like saying cleaning.
It's worth it
that's
to
like
them.
Saying make sure you clean your hubcaps.
We're fighting.
To keep your car. Like working
that's nothing
well.
That's not
no, it
the
is,
same at
a
all.
A lot of those fluids and all the air filter shit is how they fuck you.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how they fuck you.
Yes.
Well, I pay for it. So I don't pay for everything. But if they're like, hey, these are medium level and I have the money, I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
By the way, hot tip for everybody out there. Get a synthetic oil change. Not to make this show too exciting.
I don't even know what that is, bro, because I just have them do whatever they
synthetic
want.
Synthetic oil change is, it's better for your car. Uh-huh. It makes it last longer, like you just said.
I don't.
It costs
don't,
more money.
I don't know if that's true with hybrids, but go ahead.
What? I don't know. I don't know shit about hybrids, dude.
Okay.
I don't even like hybrids.
Well, I have a hybrid. Yes, you do, because you love my car.
I like your car.
All right. we're going to move on because that's like, we have a lot of firsts to go through.
No, I don't like how quiet they are. And I feel like that they're a danger.
This is not a sexy topic. Okay. I just wanted to warn people to get their car serviced, but you're fighting me on it because you think you're going to get
scammed. Whenever we walk around in our neighborhood and I don't even know a car is going by, it's always a hybrid. And that scares me. And so I don't like them.
Oh, so that's why you don't want them to get serviced?
Yeah, I would like for them all to be destroyed.
Okay. What was your first major purchase?
My first major purchase was my television.
Yeah?
That rear projection.
Oh, the one that you wouldn't let me get rid of?
Yes. So, that was my prize.
When Steve and I first started dating, it was 2013, and he had this gigantic television set, but not a flat screen. I'm talking like the big box, like the deep box that took up half the room because he was in this bachelor pad that was like a studio, and it literally took up half the room, half of the living room to fit this TV in.
He was a big boy.
I'm not exaggerating in the slightest.
He's a heavy boy too.
He was a heavy boy. He was a big boy. He was an ugly boy.
He was very ugly. I disagree, but now, of course, obviously he...
It was a gray...
He's dated.
Toshiba? Was it Toshiba?
It was a Toshiba.
It was a gray Toshiba TV.
Sheba, I call it.
A deep-ass one. Deep-ass one.
It was very deep.
Yeah, the ass was deep on that. And I was like, oh, you need to upgrade your TV. Like, I had a flat screen. It was a little smaller. The frame was smaller, but... Like, the screen size was smaller, but the quality was immensely greater. And I had gotten mine in 2012, so like they're just the previous year, and I was like, you need like a newer TV. And
what's crazy is
he
that
was like, this is top of the line, and he got really angry at me.
Well, because that's my first purchase,
right? And it was from 2005.
That's right. And me and Nate, my brother Nate, we Black Friday slumber partied outside at a Best Buy
so
to get
Steve,
that shit.
When he bought it, it was top of the line in 2005. And that's in 2013, he still thought it was top of the line.
You're damn straight I did.
He still thought that because he spent so much money on it back in 2005.
You're trying to humiliate me? But
8
instead,
years
before, you're making my heart beat with pride.
I'm not trying to humiliate you. I'm just telling people to take your advice with a grain of salt because you think that some things are scams.
No.
And yet you think some things are top of the line that are not.
So for many years.
And he tried to sell it.
Excuse me.
He tried to sell this TV.
You stop fucking crying on my TV. I swear to God, Nikki.
It was so big and
stop
ugly.
Stop crying on my TV.
Everyone's
this TV
like,
was
no,
dope.
Like, he left it on the street and literally no one would pick it up for free.
I would like to cut to commercial. Are we ready for commercial yet?
No, we're not. Oh. We're so far from a commercial break. So what advice would you give that guy, maybe?
Okay, so here's the thing.
I have some.
You have to know when your thing is old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was too prideful of my initial purchase because when I got it, it was top
of
the line.
It was emotional.
It was like, I got it in January. And it was, I think it was like a, or not January.
You got it Black Friday.
I got it Black Friday. But when I got it,
straight.
When I got it, that model TV just came out. You know what I'm saying? So even like that January when I was in a Best Buy looking at other TVs, I was like, my TV's still like just like better than the deal for these TVs.
Yeah.
I used to go into Best Buys and I still do this shit. I compare the deal that I got to what people are paying today. And every time that I got the better deal, I'm like, fuck yeah. I fucked them.
Stupid.
Because here's the thing.
The way your brain works.
I feel like everyone's always trying to fuck you. And I feel like every time I go to the Best Buy and I see my TV and then I got it cheaper, I fucked them.
You won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I go in there and I'm like, oh,
and
damn,
it's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
And that's a bad day for you.
And then I'm like, man, I hope they raise the price tomorrow.
Bad day for Steve.
It's absurd.
When Steve found out he could have gotten a better deal somewhere else, that's like
devastation.
A very bad day.
Three
for
days
Steve.
Of solitude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then I'm like, I don't know even what happened. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, nothing. And he just shakes his head.
It's devastating, man. It is.
I never find out what's wrong.
Because I'm very good at deal shopping.
Uh-huh.
Very, very astute at it. The practice. By the way, everybody, if you're out there and you're not paying per ounce at the grocery store, you're fucking up. It's one of my little hot tips.
Yeah.
For all y'all.
Or, you know, you can
when
just
you
buy
look
what
at
you
the
like.
Price, no, hold on.
Pay a few pennies more and get what you like.
First of all, Kroger brand's pretty good.
Nah.
Second,
it's not.
A lot of times
it's
it
really
is.
Not.
There's a couple things it's not. Okay.
Okay.
The paper towels are really good. We've talked about this. Okay. So, but when you look at the price tag on the bottom of the shelf, shit they don't tell you, look at the per ounce amount that you're paying. Because that's where they're fucking you the hardest.
You literally sound 57 right now. You sound 57 years old right now.
Guess what? 57. I sound like a very smart 57 year old.
That's actually an insult to 57 year olds. I'm sorry. You sound like an older guy.
You sound like somebody who can't wait to pay for overpay for the brand. You're excited to put your money into a fire. That's what's sad about it.
Is it into a fire if it still brings me joy?
Oh, it brings you joy.
It brings me joy.
To buy dishwasher pods that are more expensive.
The pretty ones.
Yeah, see.
Yeah,
the it does. Pretty bag.
It does.
With metallic.
Because I feel like it's doing a better job cleaning. And so I feel like I got my money's worth.
That is ridiculous. See, you're emotionally attached to these purchases.
You're emotionally attached to the price.
No.
You think, oh, I got them.
Let me tell you something. It's a very personal thing.
We're both stupid.
Let me tell you something. It's a very personal thing if somebody can get the better of me on a price. That is a very personal, deep cut. They're fucking me, and it's unacceptable.
Do you know why people put so much money into marketing? Because it works. Because this packaging looks better, and I want it.
Here's the thing. People need shit, right? You have to have dishwasher things or whatever.
Yeah.
They know you got to buy it. So they're just trying to shine the product up as much as they can, put a bunch of fucking pluses or whatever, extra, super clean, all this shit they put on the bag, and then they can charge you dollars more.
But it's so
prettier. But you got to understand, it's not about the pretty bag. That's like tequila, man. All the good tequila is not in the fancy bottles. See, you get the fucking hockey stick tequila or whatever. You see that one?
Yeah.
Where it's like in a hockey stick and it's glass bottle. That's different.
That's different because it's not just aesthetics. It's like you have to drink that. Like you're.
No, but you're paying for the bottle, right?
Maybe some people are.
A lot of people are.
Okay.
They're paying for the marketing.
This could
look
be
at Patron,
a
bro.
Whole life philosophy because to me, like if I'm going to clean, which I already fucking don't want to do, like I already don't want to clean, right? But if I'm going to clean, I want it to be like a fun experience for me.
It's just as fun paying less, isn't it?
No, if I grab down and I like have to pull up some like janky ass looking, cheap ass looking dishwasher pod, fuck this dishwasher.
Well, guess what? You have to do that a lot because I usually buy those. So,
yeah, but on the days I buy mine, oh man, it's such a better cleaning experience.
It is not. You just think it is.
No, it is. Because
what's the better cleaning
experience?
Because
it has to be a mind thing for me. Just like how I buy like organizational bins and the ones that look nicer make me want to organize more.
Yeah, but that's you're paying for the value of the visual.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yes, same with the dishwasher pods.
Dude, you're talking about packaging though.
Yeah, but I like the way it looks.
Packaging versus utility.
It. You're not going to change my mind on this.
Jesus.
My first major purchase was, I think, my second car. Because the first one my parents bought. And the second one was like the first time I ever bought.
Your current car?
No.
Oh.
My lemon car that you didn't like.
Oh, yeah. That thing was shit. Yeah.
You never met my Celica. She was a peach. I love her. But my Honda is the one that you met me with. And that's the one that I actually purchased myself.
Got it.
I got a job. I saved my money. And then I was like, I'm going to buy a car, a new car. I've never bought my own car before. I had never bought.
Got it. Shit they don't tell you
so
about.
So I didn't do my vocal exercises this morning, so I didn't enunciate. But Mr. Mumble, maybe you could correct me on the way.
Hey, nobody says
things.
I mumble in videos. I just mumble in real life quite a bit.
I have to edit sometimes, and I cannot understand what you're saying.
Whatever, dude.
Anyway, why do you want to interrupt my story, my cool story about my first purchase?
No, I got your story.
No, you didn't.
You bought a Celica.
No, I didn't. See, you completely didn't get
Mazda.
My story. I hate you.
What was it? What would you buy?
I didn't get to say it yet. Because,
I thought it was a car. You just said that.
Yeah, but I didn't get to say what kind because you keep cutting me off with some stupid shit. I bought a Honda, a 2004 Honda Civic. And that was the one that I like had to learn how to take care of.
Gotcha.
Like where I was like, shit, like you have to service things? Shit, you have to get like oil change? Because I didn't do any of that to my Celica. And it had like 125,000 miles on it and it was great. But I just decided to sell it so that I could get like my new car, my flashy car.
Right.
And that thing hurt me. That thing I had to learn a lot of shit they don't tell you.
Wait,
over
because
time.
Because you didn't
I didn't know how to service it. I didn't know how to maintain it. I got into a lot of freakish accidents with it where that like weren't my fault. Like but that thing like attracted accidents.
Should have got synthetic oil
weird.
Changes.
I didn't even know what that was back then.
There you go.
But yeah, my advice to myself back then would have been to just realize that it's not just the car payment that you have to remember to pay for and the gas, but also like the oil and the servicing.
Do you remember having to negotiate for your car?
Yes, because I bought it through an eBay seller.
Okay.
So I was
How did that go?
Well, she wanted way more than the car was worth because she had like riced it out with tinted windows, and it had a spoiler, and it had like subwoofers in the back, and it was like a total chola car.
Wow.
It had rims, like really shiny rims. I thought it looked sick, but also like I wouldn't pay that much money for all these things that don't actually add value to your car.
Yes.
Because the subwoofers and all that stuff, she was trying to add more money on, and I'm like,
that's so funny.
I'm like, no, that's why they call these things, these aren't assets, these are like liabilities, because it doesn't actually add any value.
Yeah, it depends on who's buying it. That's like
that's another shit they don't tell you. Like if you think you're putting a bunch of money into your car, but you're buying like cosmetic items and like things,
oh my God, that's so
things that you don't like actually need for a car to run, you are not increasing the value of your
car. It's so funny to me thinking of putting in a sick sound system just before you sell your car because you're going to sell it for more money.
Oh yeah, she put in this like badass CD player. Like it was a CD changer, and back then that was like kind of top of the line.
Oh.
I don't still think it's top of the line because I'm not Steve Green, but like you would have probably thought it was sick.
I would have thought I would have thought that's pretty sick. Yeah, for sure.
It's sick. It changed your CDs. But yeah, so I did negotiate the price because I knew that you could, because it was a car and it was eBay, and I don't know. I just feel like I couldn't negotiate, and I negotiated it down $4,000.
Dude, one time me and my old man, we went into a Ford dealership. And we were both like, hey, we both want to buy cars today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would use each other not being interested to get them to keep knocking the price down. It was pretty sweet.
That's tight.
We definitely fucked up.
We'll have a whole episode on negotiation.
Okay.
That's later. Okay, how about your first credit card? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I got it to build my credit.
Right.
And I just put gas on it and that was it.
Yeah, pretty much same. Like, yeah. I got it when I was 18, as soon as I could get a credit card, because I knew I wanted to build my credit. And I got really good credit.
Me too.
By the time I was like 21, when I was moving into my first apartment. And then I destroyed it by 24.
Me too.
Yeah.
Gave that sad credit times. Card to my ex to help put her through college. And it was fun times.
Yeah, mine was like me and my ex moved out, and so then I had to pay double the rent basically to keep my apartment, and then I couldn't afford that, so I put it on my credit card, and then I just couldn't make the payments. Fine. But I never missed rent. I never once have ever missed rent.
Love it.
But I missed a lot of credit card payments.
Yep.
Yeah, my advice to that person would be like, building credit's dope, just maintaining your credit's even more. Oof. Important.
Yeah.
Even more.
That's the real ticket.
Because it has now taken like 6 years to rebuild, and it's not even close to where it was before.
Took me a decade.
Yeah, I think it'll take me a decade to get back where it was. How about your first job interview? Do you remember that?
I do.
How would it go?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is actually my old man called me during the job interview, and I squeezed my phone in my pocket or whatever, but I guess I picked up, and then he was able to hear and review my job interview.
Wow.
Yeah. Like afterward.
That's such a responsible thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So, So I went in there. It was this company, High Rise Lot, downtown Los Angeles. We sold printer toner, whatever the shit.
Yeah.
And I just went in there like, hey, man, I am going to be here to work. I'm not here to fuck around. I'll do my job. I'm not going to like go on the internet and all this shit that you probably have to deal with people. I just want to come in here, do my job, and leave. Because I do improv at night, and like, so when I'm here, I don't even want to be funny. I don't even want to tell jokes.
Wait, when did you get your first job?
When I first moved to LA. Oh, no. This is my first real job to me because I worked for my old man.
First job.
Well, I worked for my old man, so to me that doesn't really count.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Your first job interview was like a real job.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Because my dad had a medical supply company that we, like, basically everyone in the family worked
there. Yeah, you worked for your dad.
Exactly.
We understand.
So it doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Right.
My first job interview, I was high as fuck. And I am not a good stoner. Like, everything freaks me out. That's why I don't smoke weed anymore. Like, I stopped smoking in high school. But I was 15, and I remember we smoked weed, and then I remembered that I had this job interview. And it was because it was my first job interview ever. And I just forgot that it was like that same day. And they're like, oh, you're going to kill it because you'll be so relaxed. Right. And I'm like freaking out. Like, I always think in real life, like not stoned, totally sober, I think I'm in trouble 90% of the time. I always think I'm dropping the ball or I fucked up somehow. Or like there's something, if I'm in a good mood, I'm like, there's got to be something I forgot. And I'll bring myself down. I don't know why I'm like that. Probably a psychological childhood issue. But we won't delve into that right now. But yeah, so I was high and it amplified all of that anxiety. It just made me so freaked out. I thought like the job interview person was going to know I was high. They're probably going to call the police. Like I just didn't know how to handle myself. I thought everything was like, I couldn't remember how to like really form sentences. And I remember the job interview person being like, he'll ask the question, like he'll be like, what would you say makes a valuable employee? And I remember being like repeating every question. I'd go, what would I say makes the most valuable employee? Well, I'm a good person.
Oh my God,
like,
dude.
It was
why
the
do they
worst.
Ask these questions?
I don't know.
Do they bother?
But like looking back, that manager guy was probably like 20. This was at a Marshall's. It was to work at a Marshall's.
Okay.
So the manager guy was like 20 something, yeah. And he was just like, nah. But I thought I killed it at the end.
You didn't get the job?
No.
That's amazing.
No, I didn't get the job. My first job came through a family friend too.
Got it.
Like where it was just like, hey, she just really wants a job, and I was a hostess on the weekends at a restaurant.
Oh, that's so good.
But yeah, that first interview, I'll never forget that.
Dude, I never understood that about job interviews, and maybe somebody out there who runs a business or something can explain to me. But the whole like, what makes you a really good employee? It's basically just like everyone's playing bullshit chicken.
Dude, we should do an episode on job interviews because I actually have a lot of good advice. Every job interview I went on in my adulthood life, I got the job.
Me too.
That's great. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, where I like to cut through the bullshit and just say what I exactly how I feel about this job and exactly why
that's
I want
I
the job.
Too.
And why I'm the best person.
Why I'm qualified. Yeah. Those are the three main things.
That's it.
Absolutely. And I turn the interview on them, asking like basically like what kind of hours do you have? Like how much do your servers make on average? I would be applying at restaurant jobs and stuff. Like how much do your servers make? And there was this one job from Craigslist where they had 300 people come in and they only hired two people, and I was one of the two people.
Wow.
And then the other one, and then I ended up quitting a week later and taking this other job that there were 70 people they called in and they only hired me.
That's tight.
That ended up being a really cool waitressing job for that like A-list celebrity cocktail bar thing.
Yeah, good
a lot
stories
of stories
there.
From that. But yeah, I think job interview wise, confidence sells everything,
yes.
and just knowing what you want before you go in there.
And they try to scare the shit out of you. At least that's what my happens to me usually when I was on job interviews. And I just did not even blink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, this is going to be a lot of shit we're going to throw at you. It's going to be really tough. And the whole time I'm thinking, I need this fucking check.
Yeah.
I need this fucking check.
Right.
So
but,
I'm just like,
you
whatever.
You can't need the job more than they need you. You can't show that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're just playing it cool, baby.
Right.
You're like, listen, man. After this interview is over, I'm going to get back on my private jet. I'm going to go home. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the attitude.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I try to have that attitude with auditions, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I always am like, no, this would be my dream job. Please hire me.
That's so good. I hope that you beg. I hope that you beg.
Right? In the room.
I really do.
Like, you know, you don't understand, guys. And they have to, like, kick me out.
It's like you give an American Idol sob story.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, like, my family had a tragedy. Every time. I'm like, okay, guys. Is this a talent competition or is this just, like, for soft hearts?
This is the last financial question.
Okay.
Because after the break, I want to get into, like, the juicy love stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What was your first time getting, like, a big paycheck? How much was it for? And
a couple years ago, I got one. I was like early in my YouTube stuff and I got a big check for many thousands and it was pretty sick.
And what'd you do?
What did I do? I always, me and Nikki like to celebrate our wins. So I took you to dinner.
Yeah. We went to dinner.
Yeah.
And then like, do you have any advice for that person that would get with their
Check? Half of it and put it into a savings account for taxes.
Yes.
Jesus.
Taxes and just like savings.
Dude, how many YouTubes? Yeah. Videos do you see where it's like, I just found out about taxes?
We just had David Alvarezi on and he said that he got a brand deal for $10,000. It was like his first one.
Yeah.
And he didn't know about taxes and he just spent like $8,000 of it.
Dude, he said he fucking bought the bar shots or something.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
holy
the entire bar.
Shit, dude.
Yeah. My first big paycheck that I can remember, it was for $7,000. I thought that was so much money. That was like the most amount of money I'd seen in a check.
Yeah.
And it was a fluke. Like, I was supposed to get paid $300 for this job to be an extra in a commercial, but the extra job would get me into SAG, so that's why I took it. And not only did it get me into SAG, but also I was playing a ballerina at the time in the commercial, and they had us choreograph our own dance. And under SAG rules, if you have to choreograph your own sequence, you're considered a dancer, and it's more than just being an extra. And so one of the dancers complained, and we all got crazy checks, and then we got residuals on all of the commercials, and that was something we weren't supposed to get. We were supposed to just get like the flat.
Dude, leave it to those guys to be like, we get a bump. I know we get a bump for this.
Yeah, it was dope though. It was $7,000. And what I did was I invested it back into acting. I paid for a year's worth of private coaching and acting classes. That was like $3,000 at the studio that I was going to.
Yeah.
And it was a year's worth. And then I paid for every workshop I could sign up with, every headshot, every demo reel. That went into like basically the foundation of everything I did with acting.
You know what's crazy about me?
And I would do it again.
You know what's crazy about me now compared to then is I always think, what can I do to make this money make me more money?
Yeah,
like
same.
Back then, I never thought like
I always thought like that.
You see, I never did. I was just like, oh, sick, money from my account. Slam that check in. You know what
it was? Is because I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was like 19.
Oh, there you go.
And so
you had a head start.
Yeah, I already had programmed my mind to think that way. Anytime I got a dollar, I would put 75 cents of it into a bank account.
Like these days, I'm like, how can I buy more fucking Bitcoin? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a constant thing where it's like, once you find the thing that you think is tight,
yeah,
like it's a constant, like, I want to do that. I want to keep on doing that.
So if you get a huge paycheck, invest it.
Half of
like
it
learn
Bitcoin.
How to invest, put it into a savings account, learn how to invest
Bitcoin,
all that stuff,
Ethereum.
That's,
and then half of into taxes,
or you know, look up something that you're passionate about investing in,
which is probably Bitcoin.
Probably.
Hey, dude, $8,000.
And on that note, we're going to go on a break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
We're taking a break from ourselves to have ourselves talk about ourselves. So thanks for listening to our podcast.
We really hope that you like, favorite, and subscribe. But most importantly, you give us 5 stars on the podcast app that you are on.
And give us a cool review if you like it, because we like you and we hope you like us.
But even if you don't, just give us 5 stars anyway, because we need
you
it.
You sound so desperate.
No, listen, we really need
you
it.
You sound so
No, look, maybe
desperate.
Look, it's a tough time out
Please
there for podcasters.
Please help my husband. He's very sad.
If we don't get 5 stars, dude, you don't even know what's going to come down on me, man.
I
owe money. Listen, okay. I'm in deep, dude. I gamble.
Okay, no. We're
Look,
done.
I need to win.
Thank you for listening. We hope you like this. We really appreciate your ears listening to this.
I'm going back to the table tonight. I'm going to get it back.
Yeah, no, you're
no,
not.
No, I'm going to get it
you're
back.
Not. Okay.
I swear.
That's enough. Enough out of you. And we're back. Okay.
Did you have a good break?
I did. Me too. Like, played with my boobs and stuff. It was a great time.
It was awesome. Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome. It was really awkward for our sound guy, Mark, over there, but, you know. Fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. Can't say it enough. We should do a fuck Mark episode.
Yeah.
A whole
What are you, anti-women? What, I can't play with my boobs?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, now we're going to get into some juicy romantic stuff.
Yes.
The relationship, the juicy stuff you came here for. So let's talk about your first kiss. What was it like? Where were you? Who were you?
What counts as
what
a first kiss?
First makeout, making out.
Okay, was kind of a similar story to my a lot of movie theater stuff. I was
is that like your hangout spot?
So Half Past Dead, the Steven Seagal movie.
How did you have all this money to go to movies?
What are you talking about?
I never had money
movies
to go
cheap
to movies.
As fuck.
No, they weren't.
Movies were yes,
movies
they were.
Were a treat for
it
us.
It was like $7 or something.
Yeah, that was like a lot of money for like a high school kid to go spend money on.
Well, I had a job at my dad's business as a janitor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there it is.
So yeah, so okay, so. I took my chick at the time to the Steven Seagal movie Half Past Dead, his last run in the theaters. I came
wow.
to find out later. Too bad. I never thought that would happen. So yeah, this movie is like Steven Seagal and Ja Rule just like fucking people up, and like I made out that entire movie. I saw it later on DVD.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you just movie started. You started making out.
Just made out the whole time. There was nobody else in the theater. I think that's part of why he his career.
That was his last theater
run.
Went
direct to DVD. Yeah, it was his last theater run. Yeah, and I found out like while I was in the movie theater, I kind of started get that first hint as to why.
I see. Because
you could just make out to that movie. That whole time that it was in theaters, dude, we actually went back to go see Half Past Dead multiple times so we could make out. Not even kidding.
Oh, how did you feel like when it was your first kiss? Like, how did you feel? Did she make the first move or did you make
no,
the first
I
move?
No, I did. And it was tight. It was just tight.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where.
So you had been dating this girl for a little bit?
I had just started dating this chick.
Like, what does that mean?
Like, we just got together.
Like a few weeks or a few days or what?
Like a couple of days, yeah. Mm. And we were, yeah, we...
How old were you?
We were already like, I was like 15 or 14. 14, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Well, I don't remember ages as well as Nikki Lima
right,
does, that's
okay.
for sure. I'm just trying to match it up to what grade I was.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was pretty tight. How about you? What was your first kiss?
Mine was in Cancun, Mexico, and I was 14 as well. This guy, so it was really boring. It was a family trip, right? And we were in Cancun, Mexico, and we were at this resort. And I loved going to the beach and stuff, but I was really lonely. Like, there was no one my age.
Yeah.
And it was me and my brother, and it was just like a family thing. And my parents were like, they're on vacation, so they're like hanging out at the bar and like, you know, socializing with people, and I'm just like in fuck offsville, like in the pool alone, in the ocean alone.
In Cancun, though, pretty good.
It's cool, but I just wish like I could have talked to somebody like during that time. So come to find out, my parents run into these other people who their son was on a baseball team with my brother in Santa Barbara. So
Whoa.
Like in Little League, you know, like little, they were, I think my brother was, so I was 14, so he was 9. And they were on a baseball team together, and that guy had an older brother, and they were all on family vacation. So randomly, we ran into a Santa Barbara family. We were both living in Santa Barbara, but on vacation in Cancun, and he didn't have anyone to hang out with either. And he was a year younger than me. He was 13, and we were just hanging out in the pool the whole time, and it was just so cool to like have someone to talk to. And he starts asking me about like, you know, when my first time kissing a guy and stuff, and I was like, well, actually, I've never kissed anyone before. And he's like, oh no, we have to fix that. He was smooth as fuck.
That's smart.
And he took one of those inner tubes and he put it over us. So like we just, our heads were, out of the water, and then the inner tube was over us, and then we just made out in that inner tube, so no one could see us because our parents were like at the bar over there.
I hate this guy.
No one could see us. But then
I hate the way you're smiling.
It was so dope. Because I was like, I can't believe I'm kissing a guy on vacation. And I was so sad that whole trip. And then he's like, let's go up to my room. And I was like, okay. And then we go into, like, we're on our way up to the room. And he, like, we go outside to, like, the hammock area. And he, like, full on feels me up, too. I'm like, damn, not only did I get my first kiss, but also, like, the first guy to ever feel me up.
You got second base.
I had no idea that was going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And then he tried to go further.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, ooh, no. Like,
I'm not that kind of girl, girl.
Hey, I like God, you know? And nice. I was like, no, that's too much. And so he's like, that's okay. And he was still really smooth about it. Yeah. And we just kept making out, and it was dope. And then we exchanged emails, because it's like, oh, you live in Santa Barbara. We'll hook back up in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
And he never responded to my emails.
Yeah.
I was so hurt.
I was so hurt.
I really thought, like, I got a boyfriend now.
Ooh.
But that's how naive, you know, you are when you're first time.
That's a supply and demand issue is what you encountered there.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, he made my first time very comfortable.
That's good.
It was just that, yeah, I got like a little bit of a, oh.
Right.
I thought more was going to happen. You know, I thought it was like meant to be, like our love story would be, we met in Cancun, but we both live in Santa Barbara, you know?
Yeah.
But no.
Such a fucking romantic, this Nikki.
Yeah, I have always been very romantic. Yeah.
I'm the same way, though. I'm usually the guy who's like, man, I'm super into this person now. Like,
yeah.
Super into this person.
We've always been chasers. Both of us have been the chasers, usually. Yeah. But yeah, so what I would say to her is, like, your first kiss is the first kiss. And if you haven't been dating previously, chances are it's probably not going to happen for you.
Wait, what, did you just diss a lot of people out there?
No, I'm telling myself.
Oh, back then. Jesus.
No. Okay, gotta go. I'm telling myself back then that, like, not to get so excited about, yes, like read too much into things. Like, people have alternate agendas, and I didn't know that people had different agendas. You're so innocent, yeah, like, your first time doing things.
Dude, going 0 to 100 into, like, kissing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you really do feel like you're probably going to marry this person.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that about my first girlfriend. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry this chick for sure.
Well, yeah, my first boyfriend, I for sure thought I was going to marry.
Yeah, I was like, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I was like, we'll be married by the time we're 18. You know what I mean? Like, you just think that shit. It's mm-hmm. so funny.
Yeah. All right, well,
and
how about...
so not true.
How about your first date? I guess your first kiss was your first date, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well...
First makeout session.
My first date didn't come till I was actually in a relationship like 2 years later.
Mm.
Maybe a year and a half later. Yeah, I was 15.
How did that work? So you just like at school, like dating each other or whatever you call it?
Yeah, like we went on a date. Like I'm talking like to a restaurant.
Right.
Like the
So first... that whole time he never took you anywhere?
What do you mean?
So you were with a guy for 2 years, you said.
No, I said for my first kiss on. Like I had.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, because I didn't get to go on a date with anyone until like a year and a half later when I actually got a boyfriend.
Word.
Yeah. And our first date, I guess I don't really remember our first date other than I was like, oh, I got a job. I have some money. Like we could eat somewhere like in a restaurant, like grown up people.
That's tight.
Yeah. And then we had like our favorite restaurant. It was this Chinese place. And we would just go there on our anniversaries. That remember when you celebrated them every month?
Yeah.
So we would
only
celebrate.
Only because it's so remarkable to be with somebody for a couple months in that age.
And that's why I thought I was going to marry him. Because we were together for 2 years. And I was like, well, that's half of my life.
The best shit was when you're at school and the it couple breaks up.
Yeah.
And then there's always vultures everywhere on both sides
of the
aisle.
Yeah, I wasn't even in that crowd. So I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't care. Although it was weird because in like my senior year, I felt like a lot of the popular kids were like being really nice to me. And I thought I was like, whoa, they're just really nice. Like they weren't this nice 2 years ago. But it was really because I like dropped a lot of weight and got my braces off. And like I didn't realize that I looked better than I did the 2 years prior. And so when I went through a breakup with my 2 year boyfriend, all these popular guys were like, hitting on me, but I was like, they can't possibly be hitting on me.
They must be hitting on the girl behind me.
Right. I just thought, well, they must be just really nice people.
Love it.
And I ended up dating a popular guy, but I didn't know how to act around him because I'm like, I don't know how this world operates or like what the expectations are. And so I was like really awkward, and he broke up with me like pretty much immediately.
And he told you that you're weird, right?
Oh, yeah, he listed all the things wrong with me. He told me that I was real. No, he didn't tell me. He had his friend list off all the things he thought was wrong with me.
The best.
Yeah. He told me I was like really fucking weird, and that like I wasn't girly enough. And that's when I started like getting into makeup and like hair and like trying to be more girly.
You're the girliest person I've ever known.
Yeah, I ended up liking that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would. I've never, growing up, I was never that girly, but like.
You are as girly as it gets. I do like
girly stuff.
You are the stereotype.
I don't think I'm like super girly though.
What are you talking about?
No, like the stereotype girl is like Cher from Clueless.
Oh, yeah, that person like doesn't exist for me. It's like the Reese Witherspoon from Legally Blonde. Real for me. Yeah.
That person is real.
No, I know, but for me, I'm talking about like the girliest that I've seen
girl
in
that
my
you've
interim.
Ever met in the improv circle, in the comedy,
absolutely,
world.
Exactly, though.
Yeah, I guess.
And then
I guess
between
so.
That and my sister, fucking.
No, that's true. That's
Abigail
not, that's
from
not
Crucible.
Fair. That's not fair.
Well, that's true.
Jen is. Yeah, she's not girly
not
at
girly,
all.
No.
She's like
she's always been a tomboy.
She, just to put it in context, she dressed up like a judge for Halloween when she was a kid.
She was a fucking judge. Exactly.
Okay. How about the first time saying I love you in a serious way?
Oh, God.
Who was
doesn't
she?
Doesn't count.
I need names.
It was my first girlfriend. Of course you say that shit. Mm. Of course.
Ashley?
Yeah.
The one that I look the most like?
Yes.
Aw. True. That's cute. True. It came full circle.
She was also, I think, half Mexican.
Oh, well, I'm not half Mexican.
Well,
so
that's what I thought you were. That's
also.
No, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you have a similar look because of that.
And so you said I love you. Do you remember the exact time, or was it not that?
Fuck no.
Yeah, me either.
Of course not.
I just remember the first person I said it to, which was my high school boyfriend.
Yep.
And I've only said it to only serious relationships, like only four people in my
sure,
life.
Sure, but it didn't count.
No, because
it's such a naive.
But that was the first time I actually felt like, oh my gosh, like I have deeper emotions than just a crush on somebody.
Sure. But when I was that age, I remember very distinctly my parents telling me that this is not love.
Yeah.
You don't know what that is.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah. Everyone's. Yeah.
And I was just like, you don't get me and all shit. You know,
well, we're
going
to say that to our kids too, and they'll say the same thing back to us.
It's
and,
just fascinating being on the other side of the fence now.
Yeah, yeah.
And knowing how right they were. Is so funny
it's
now
because so
you're so brimming with all these emotions and
and you're like they couldn't have possibly felt a love this extreme when they were my age, and that's why they don't know,
right?
But didn't your parents get married? Like they were the only people each other dated.
I mean, I don't know how real that is. I know that that's what I got told growing up. I don't know.
But
that
didn't they get married
fucking...
really early?
Yeah, they got married at 19.
Yeah, so like
19
to 20. I believe that.
My old man was 19. My mom was 20.
But that's like the age that I would tell somebody that's not real love at.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
But they were telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yep. I was like 14.
All right, we'll get to the juicy stuff. What was your first time having sex? X-Mans.
X-Man 2, X-Man United.
People have a lot
4.
Of questions about that, such as, I'll
ahead,
be the
shoot.
Voice of the people.
Shoot.
Why are you able to lose your virginity in a crowded theater on the floor in a sticky movie theater, but you can't maybe have sex discreetly in a bathroom with your wife?
Cheaper. It was cheaper than
cheaper than
a
bathroom?
It was no, cheaper than a hotel room.
What? I'm not talking about a hotel room.
I'm talking about why I did it on the movie theater floor.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my question.
Oh, what was your question?
My question is, why can you have sex in public if it's losing your virginity in front of a crowd full of people on a sticky movie theater floor, but you won't take part in any sort of sexualness?
I'll fuck you in a bathroom, dude. Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
It's so
that's
annoying.
All I wanted. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. What? That's how I get what I want.
Here's the thing. When you're an adult, this is like that shit where it's like, I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want. Now I can sleep on the floor. My parents used to get pissed if I tried to sleep on the floor, but now I can sleep on the floor. It's like, why would you do that? It actually sucks to sleep on the floor.
No, it's because
lay in a bed.
It's the adrenaline rush of like, oh, we could get caught if we're not careful.
Nobody
and
cares
sexy.
To catch 2 30-year-olds fucking.
It's sexy. No, I'm not talking about people catching us. They don't get anything out of it. And like, it's sexy for us to try not to get caught.
I see. Okay.
And I can't believe it's not sexy for you.
You're sexy to me, so it doesn't
matter. I need more scandal in my life.
I'll add some scandal for you.
I just got missionary position, and that's it. Married, missionary position.
You like that
sex.
Shit.
Yeah, but that's...
So what are you absolutely talking about?
I would still some public-ass bathroom sex. Is that okay, for once in my life... Well, once in my life with you.
Shut the fuck up. I fucking hate it.
I'm kidding. That's why I'm trying to get you to do
it. No, I hate it.
Okay. My first time was in a hotel room to 8 Mile. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
But yeah, I would highly recommend 10 out of 10. Chinese food. Oh, but I will say that wasn't the first time I tried to lose my virginity. I tried to lose it a few times before that on Valentine's Day and on a different day. I think just a random day. But it wouldn't go in because it wouldn't go in.
Wow.
Yeah, it hurt a lot.
Congratulations.
I was like, that hurt too much. I can't do it. And I really thought that it was never going to go in.
That's incredible.
Even the day I lost it, I didn't think it was going to go in. Like, we actually gave up. We stopped trying because it wouldn't go in.
What, and then he fucking fell asleep on you?
No. He was he was just joking with me, like, because he's trying to make me feel better because I felt bad that it wasn't working.
Okay.
And so, you know, I get, like, really upset and emotional. I was just, like,
of course.
Sad that it wasn't working and, like, I really wanted it to be special and stuff. And so he's like, no, it is working. Look it. Oh, my God, I'm getting, we're having such a good time. This is happening. And, like,
that's
just,
your first time
he was
memory?
Just, like, yeah, he was,
holy
like,
shit.
He was just started trying to make me laugh and
doing
stuff.
Doing bits with his dick?
Yeah, doing bits. And then it went in. Because I relaxed.
Oh, my God.
And it went in and I was like, oh, damn, it can't go in. I'm not broken.
Oh, my God.
I really thought I was broken.
Nope.
You know how, like, that's so scary or so, like, sad for, like, a person to feel like they're broken. Like, everyone else in the world is able to do this, but I'm the one person that can't have sex.
Right.
Like, I just, my body, they made it bad. They made it too bad.
I love it.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. So then I was like really relieved that I was able to have sex.
That's tight.
Yeah. But then my condition for us losing our virginity to each other, because I wanted to wait till marriage. But
me too.
Then we were like, okay, well, we're probably going to get married. So let's just do it anyway.
Yeah.
So my one condition was like, okay, we'll do it. But I don't want this to be a regular thing. It's only for like holidays or like things like that. Because I really
the Super
want.
Bowl?
No, not the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
You should reconsider.
Oh, I can't now because that's over. But it ended up being like every day and we would sneak out of class and stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This is my favorite story.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I can continue if you want.
You should.
Okay, so, but then I felt like he only wanted to be with me for sex. And then if I ever tried to go back, he wouldn't want to be with me anymore. And then we got in a lot of fights about that. And then we inevitably broke up.
Nice.
Yeah. You like that story?
I do. I like it better now.
Okay, great. What's your first heartbreak?
Oh, first heartbreak. Early 20s. I was with a chick. The chick that saddled up a bunch of debt for me. And yeah, it was pretty bad when she dumped me. It was pretty devastating.
What would you say to him now?
Oh, man, dude. You don't even know what love is. This chick is... it's not the right fit. You don't know that because you're trying to make everything work. That's what you try to do. You try to just force shit to work because you're like super idealistic about shit and you just want everything to be perfect. And so you're trying to force that shit and it doesn't work like that. That's not how people are. And it's not fair to her. It's not fair to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't a relationship. Mine was not a romantic relationship, but it was friendships.
Mm.
I got really heartbroken and devastated when I was in middle school and I just found out that like my best friend and all of our quote unquote friends would hang out without me. Often one would have a birthday party that I didn't know about and wasn't invited to until I saw everyone's pictures after or like they were talking about it after. And I got really heartbroken about that. And my best friend basically told me that nobody likes me and that she has to stick up for me all the time, but like it's exhausting and that like I'm just annoying and whatever. And I didn't make friends for a long time after that because I was so freaked out that like people weren't actually my friend and like no one would ever like me.
Damn.
Yeah. And it was like really, really heartbreaking. We ended up not being best friends after that, but it wasn't because she wasn't trying. She was like trying to still be friends, and I was just like, no, like, that's so mean. Like, it was so mean.
It was really mean.
She, like, we were just on a phone call, and she was just telling me that, like, I act like I'm 5 and I'm not as mature as her and all this stuff. And I was like, that probably could have been true, but yeah. It just, like, was so heartbreaking to hear that nobody could tell me to my face, and nobody could like lightly kind of try to adjust me or like try to say like, hey, like maybe you should do this less or like something.
It's weird
less.
Too, because yeah. You're one thing I've noticed about you is you're very much like an energy matcher.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe you do that now. Maybe you didn't do it then. Maybe that's why you do that now. Because you really do become like whatever the energy of the room is. You kind of just click in.
That's
with
true.
That.
Even yeah. Like not wanting to.
I know.
Yeah.
And so, maybe that's why you did it.
Maybe that's why I do it now.
Yeah.
I think that I always did it, but I think I might have been trying to force maybe thought that was too boring.
Yeah.
Like maybe I was trying to force like a funny personality on them, and it was just like annoying. And even now sometimes I take bits too far, like where like I'll do a joke and then I'll just like go a little too far. Like it will go like a little too long.
Too long. Yes, true.
Not far. Too long.
Like I was like, are you talking about me?
No, too repetitive.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't catch it until I'm in editing, and then I'm like, yes, oh shit, like
for sure.
Not a joke went a little too long.
I get it.
You know, and I think that if you take the joke past a long time and like to an extra too long time, then it becomes funny again.
It can.
But
you can also Family Guy shit to death to out death. There.
Yes.
Seth.
Tell him.
He loves the show. He's a big fan.
All right. I just have a few left, but we're coming up on an hour now. And I would like to know about your first time drinking.
Yeah, I was going to the New York Film Academy, and it was like a graduation thing.
Oh, it
wasn't
until you moved out here?
Yeah.
I was a good boy. Yeah, you were.
I was a very good boy.
Really good boy.
Yeah, because I had two little brothers, and so I was always like, man, if I do this shit, they're going to do this shit.
You didn't want to be a bad influence.
I didn't want to be a bad influence, yeah. So I never smoked marijuana, cigarettes, any of that shit. And I didn't drink. And a lot of fucking good that did me, because both of my brothers were doing all that shit. at the party for we're all like graduating or whatever the hell you call it, they had shots. And that's how I got introduced to tequila. And that was my first drinking experience.
That's very detailed.
Thank you. I don't remember what type of tequila it was.
Yeah, you don't remember how it felt or like...
I remember drinking it and being like, this is disgusting.
Oh, so you didn't get drunk?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I did.
Well, do you remember your first time getting drunk? Because that's like a boring ass story. Like, I tried tequila and I didn't like it.
Is that some boring shit?
Yeah. What was your first time getting drunk? Like, here's where you drank too much because you didn't know your limits. Like, that's
I think the first time. That is when I got drunk, because I didn't know that I was drunk.
Then,
does that make sense?
That's weird.
Yeah, because
I don't think you were drunk then.
I was drunk.
Do you not know when you're drunk now?
I don't ever get drunk.
That's true. So you always think you're not drunk.
Exactly.
When you're drunk, you like are convinced that you're not drunk.
I try to emphasize that I'm not drunk.
Yeah. Extra hard, but you say random things.
Of course.
Yeah, for me I was 15 and we drank vodka out of a water bottle and it tasted like rubbing alcohol, but my friend was like, just bear with it, it'll feel really good after. And so I drank way too much, of course, because I didn't know how much you're supposed to drink. And I just remember like we were outside of a bowling alley at one point and like we got kicked out because I broke the lawn chair somehow, but I don't remember. They had like this like patio set up and I broke a lawn chair, and like I don't smoke cigarettes, but my best friend did. And so she was smoking and I took it from her and I tried to smoke it, but it was like it like made me cough and I dropped it and broke it in half, and it was just like a crazy night.
You're
and
a fucking mess.
I end up throwing up in her boyfriend's van and like all over his van, and woke up and like my clothes were just covered in vomit. And it was a really fun
party
time.
Nikki, man.
I was, that was the
breaking
very,
lawn
that
chairs,
was the first time.
Throwing up in vans.
I guess so.
Is a first time for sure.
I just remember how the night went in flashes. Like, I don't even remember.
Dude, I remember the first time I did marijuana. Thank you.
You're
I'm
so
really cool.
Cute.
So mid 20s, whatever the hell, I tried a pot brownie And because I can't inhale, man. I can't fucking smoke.
I know. Even now, you can't smoke.
I cough like shit. It's just, you know, it's just my lung. My little lungs get tuckered. And I think it's because I had whooping cough years ago.
That's true. You can't really do cardio very well either.
Thank you. So. And yeah, I something about my lung capacity or some shit, man. I swear.
I believe that.
So, we go mini golfing after taking a brownie.
Yeah.
And then I had to have a little bit more brownie because I couldn't feel shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm basically just underwater after that. Like everything that's happening is like I'm in another realm.
You're in the sunken place.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated every second of
it.
I felt disconnected to my brain.
Yes.
I was like, I'm never doing this shit again. And I don't smoke.
You
or
don't
any
do
of
the
that
marijuana.
Shit. I don't do that marijuana because of this experience. I just am good.
Yeah.
Like I'm way good. I'd rather do psilocybin mushrooms than this shit.
Well, there you go. Don't do drugs, kids.
Edibles? No, edibles, kids. Don't do those edibles. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, honestly, I've heard some stories about, like, if you have a schizophrenia in your family, if that runs in your family, sometimes it can be a dormant gene, and sometimes edibles have unlocked that in people, and, like, they just are schizophrenic now.
I swear. I know there's a lot of people out there who are shouting out the thing like, hey, I love edibles. They're good for me. I'm talking about me, man.
Yeah.
Edibles and me are not chill with each other. But if you have a good time with them, that's so sick, dude.
Yeah, I don't judge you, but I can't do them either. I mean, I can't do any marijuana.
Yeah.
But
all I'm right. a fun hang, though, even though I don't smoke. I'm a fun fuck hang.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not when you're not high. Because I've only seen you do it one time.
Yeah.
And you just kept being like,
I'm not high.
I'm not high. And then I'd be like, yes, you are. And you'd be like, but I'm not weird, right?
That's me, drunk, high, anything. I'm like, I'm not, right?
I'm not weird, though, right?
It's like,
and
Jesus.
You're just like, you look like a deer in headlights.
Yeah, I'm trying to be composed.
Like trying to blend in with the normal people.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. All right, well, that was like a fun first times thing. Did you have fun talking about rehashing all these first times?
I had a blast until we got to talking about your sex stories.
I know.
And now
I didn't mean
I need
to.
A shot.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Need a shot of vodka?
Yeah.
Or
no,
tequila?
Tequila. No, it's fine. You know what it is? I am just a very visual person, and as you're saying all this, I'm picturing my wife doing all this shit, and then I get fucking pissed.
But it wasn't.
It's absurd.
It was your teenage braces.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's so funny how my stupid fucking brain works, man. It's so weird.
That's cute.
Whatever.
You have any final thoughts?
Don't have a wife, because it'll ruin you.
It'll ruin you.
You got a hold of me, kid. You got a special hold of me.
I got Steve all sentimental now. This is what you get at the end of a first times. But
there it is, man.
A first times episode.
I'm just glad that I ended up with you and not all these fuckers are talking about.
Yeah,
I will
same.
Kill every one of them.
Don't kill anyone.
And it's a personal. No, that please, is a personal threat.
Please don't kill anybody.
And if you want to hear from my attorney, you can hear from my attorney.
Yeah,
if
maybe
you
should talk to your attorney before you say.
No,
any
I'm
of that.
Issuing the threat first.
Oh, okay. That's how you do it.
Here and now.
It's a good strategy.
Thank you.
My final thought is, hey, you're probably gonna like. Flop at a lot of things, but you need that first time experience in order to realize what's a flop and what's not a flop.
That's true.
What's a flip and what's a flop, you know?
I do know.
And
that's a terrible show.
I'm happy
on HGTV.
To have found my flip.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I found my flip.
Franklin. Jesus. Good night, everyone. No, just kidding.
I found my flip. Isn't that a thing about Filipino? They call them
flips, it's
right?
A slur for Filipinos, but like I kind of like it. Like,
yeah, you've always used like it, and I got very used to it with all your aunts and stuff.
Yeah, because I'd be like, we're going to the flip side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at podcast@nikki.limo. You can follow us on Instagram @shitthedonttellyou or on Twitter @shitthedont. And we will
check out our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. We're creating a lot of things, not just the podcast, but other videos, series, scripted stuff, bunch of stuff. We're also hanging every month on a live stream, and we are doing a Discord chat.
Yep.
So it's fun.
And a bonus, Shit They Don't Tell You.
Oh, yeah. There's a bonus.
Of those listeners.
There's a lot of shit. You got to check it out.
Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, if you will.
The after party.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
See you next time. Bye.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully
done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.